the visuals on the TV, they began to turn into God to me. Like what I was seeing was this crazy fractal, kaleidoscopic, circular visual, which in the DMT realm and in the mushroom realm, when you close your eyes, those visions sort of come to you as if you're going down a tunnel or you're traveling somewhere. And that experience came to me and it blew the doors wide open for everything. I mean, my value systems, I mean, my views on reality, on God. Like I said, I was a staunch atheist up until this point. And within like 30 seconds of that experience, it just evaporated. It was gone.
Hello and welcome to another episode of SOMA, Stories of Modern Awakening. On today's episode, a story of modern awakening.
Shocker.
Shocker.
So how did we meet today's guest?
Today's guest comes to us from the world of podcasting via Reddit.
Who would have thought that such a universe exists?
us, apparently, since we picked up several people from the podcast exchange subreddit. This was sort of like a three-way type situation, I think. Maybe a four-way, five-way, six-way. There are a lot of people involved. I mean, guests and like multiple co-hosts of podcasts. Now, anyway, we found a guest in the podcast exchange subreddit, and I noticed there was this other podcast that was signing up the same guest that we were sort of like interested in. So I was like, oh my God, I gotta take a look at who this person is. And our guest runs a podcast called Pursuit of Infinity, and there's a significant amount of overlap. It's more focused around psychedelics, but took a listen, really interesting podcast, talked to the host, and he wanted to come on to talk about his experiences with mushrooms and how that changed his life, and I think he mentioned it saved his relationship as well. Do you have any experience of mushrooms saving any of your relationships, Rachel?
I was going to ask you that, but I would say mushrooms probably saved, well, psilocybin, not like shiitake mushrooms. I would say that psilocybin has certainly saved my relationship with myself.
Wow. That's a bold statement.
No, I mean, in a very sort of real way, I think that a lot of the internal criticisms that run in our minds are just kind of suppressed in lots of ways. And psilocybin, for me at least, has a way of sort of lovingly bringing those criticisms to light, sometimes with some humor. I've gone on several trips now, or two trips now, where like I'll be looking at a plant and it looks like the whole plant is flipping me off, but in a very sort of like ironic way. I can, you know, quote unquote, converse with it and try to understand like what the sentiment is there. Like, you know, if I'm doing something wrong to deserve that. And more often than not, it's more like, well, no, this is how you actually view the universe. Like all the time you see everything is constantly flipping you off, when in fact, like,
there
it's
we go.
You flipping yourself off, and you don't actually need to be doing that.
So I was going to say, it's not my experience on mushroom that everything flips me off. So you must be special in that way.
No, I'm flipping myself off, and the universe is sort of mirroring it for me so that I can see. I mean, like one of the biggest takeaways from my most recent psilocybin journey was the amount of negative self-talk that I do, and how it actually like impacts my life. Like I think the outcomes of certain uncertain situations can often be skewed negatively just because of the way that I talk to myself. And I mean, who would have thought, like, I'm a much happier person and also more compassionate towards other people since working on that and trying to reframe a lot of the negative ideas or negative things that I tell myself. It's sort of subconscious at this point, or it was subconscious before I was working with psilocybin. Like I didn't even notice it, but like even the little things, like fuck me, like that's such a sort of, especially since moving back to New York, like it's a very sort of reflexive thing.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that I'm significantly happier and more compassionate towards myself and others since recognizing that tendency and shifting to something a little bit more like, oh, that sucks. But it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good, it's a good example of how the external reflects what's going on internally.
Yeah, for sure.
I've had a lot of different experiences on mushrooms sort of in the early days, very like vision questy, but I did have an experience that was related to relationship. I tend to like to do mushrooms on my own out in nature, but I had this thing when I was going through a series of relationships kind of in succession as I was working on some of this relationship stuff, where I would use journey work to kind of process what happened in the relationship. And usually I do that with cannabis, but this one time I went out and did a mushroom journey up in the mountains, but with the intention of kind of figuring out what's going on. I was kind of like distraught about kind of like the end of this relationship. And it was cool because I was able to perceive what was going on with that person from higher perspective, kind of like was able to look at the dynamics.
From a higher perspective within your own cognition or like an objective observation about what was going on?
I mean, this is where it gets into like the strange realm of things that you can access in those states.
Yeah, no, but that's an important question. Like, where is, you know, where is this voice coming from?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a voice. I mean, when you get to this level of being able to interact with these substances and kind of understand what's going on, there's this communication that can occur with a higher source of knowledge. And I think this is what people talk about when they talk about like accessing the Akashic records or going into these spaces to do like get information, right? And there's sure. a reality to that. I kind of like to make it a little bit more accessible because it's not so fancy. But I was really able to look at this person and like their makeup and understand what journey they were on in their life and how that played into the story of kind of like where I met this person and what happened over the course of our connection. And at the end of that journey, it was sort of like, after seeing all that, I was like, well, do I really need to try to help this person or save them or save the relationship? And it was just kind of like everything sort of played out the way it was supposed to and on to the next thing. So kind of an interesting way to look at mushrooms and relationships outside of kind of, you know, having the other person in the room with you. So just interesting experience.
Yeah, awesome. I'm interested and excited to hear today's guest's perspective on all that, hear a little bit about their story and some of the insights they picked up along the way. They're incredibly well-read and well-researched. And so not only will this make for an incredibly interesting story, but probably interesting tidbits along the way. Cool. Sit back, enjoy the interview portion, and we'll talk back at you guys soon. Hello, and welcome back to the interview portion of SOMA, Stories of Modern Awakening. Once in a lifetime, the best and brightest among us encounter a substance that changes their whole life. And sometimes, if we're lucky enough, that person goes and continues their research and then works to disseminate the information that was attained in those states and brings it back to us. Today's guest is one of two co-hosts of the Pursuit of Infinity podcast. Welcome, Josh Leonard.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us. So you had an experience that changed your life.
A few, actually.
And it put you on the path of the pursuit of infinity.
Yeah, that it did. Yeah, funny, my brother came up with the name because him and I sort of experienced these things together along with a lot of people that I know, which is a symptom of psychedelics for me. So mushrooms were my very first substance that I started using.
Was there a reason that you were interested in these substances? Like, how did this cross your path to begin with?
So I could say it probably began when I was a little kid. I've always had a wonder of, you know, what reality was, what was out there in the universe, what was larger than myself. At night, sometimes I would go into these like psychedelic type states where I would feel like I was floating in space and asking questions that sort of came to me almost like telepathically, things that like children don't ask themselves, like the stuff about the nature of reality, you know, things that you're closer to when you're a child in terms of wonder. But aside from that, I was always a staunch atheist growing up in middle school and high school. I was the kind of person that I liked to be right, I really loved that. And I loved to argue my point with people because it made me feel a sense of validation that I wasn't able to get any other place in my life. I had a little bit of a rough childhood. It wasn't too crazy or too bad, but you know, there was a lot of psychological abuse within my family and my household. And I always felt lost. You know, I never really felt like I belonged anywhere. You know, during my time in the workforce, and actually I was in college at the time as well, because I have Crohn's disease. So I needed to work full time going out of high school. So I would work full time to have health insurance. And then I was going to school at the same time. So I was kind of like balancing these two crazy aspects of life. And I started to stumble upon, probably in like 2015, while I was in school, it was around the time where the election with Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders was on fire. Everybody was going crazy about that. Politics were becoming a focal point of social media and the news and everything that was going on. And I've started to realize that like something is off, something's wrong with this world. Like, what is it? And how can we fix it? How can we move forward with a new modality that is healthier than this for individuals and the collective? And I stumbled upon Terrence McKenna. And actually, it's funny, after listening to a little bit of Terrence McKenna for maybe like a week or so's time, my brother and I stumbled upon Rick Strassman's documentary, the one based off of his book, DMT, The Spirit Molecule, and which you guys just had him on, which was a fantastic interview, by the way.
Thank you.
And I just realized that this might be like a way of achieving all of the things that I was hoping for in this world and for myself as an individual. And I started to do lots of research. And actually, I don't think I've ever talked about this on even my podcast, but I had gotten arrested. I was on my way home from a birthday party for my brother, my older brother, because I have two brothers. My younger brother is the one that I do the podcast with. So we were at my mother's house for my older brother's birthday. And I was driving home and I had marijuana in the car. And I mean, I wasn't stoned or anything. I wasn't driving erratically, but this cop was like following me for miles and miles, just waiting for me to slip up just once. And I did slip up just once and he pulled me over. And it was actually the morning of my court date was the very first time I heard Alan Watts. And it just blew my mind apart and really solidified like the potential power of like these realms of thought. But after that, I started to slowly work my way into experimenting with psychedelics and had some extremely profound mushroom experiences.
I appreciate that journey of like really digging into the knowledge. Like I had a similar type of experience where I just wanted to read and consume like all the information that I could. It sort of sets up this mental framework, I think, of being able to go into those experiences with a little bit more understanding of what you're getting yourself into. But then it also allows you to make use of that space in a way that you might not be able to if you just kind of came on a mushroom journey recreationally. So I'm really curious to hear a little bit about one of your experiences and kind of like how that process unfolded for you and what you discovered, if you'd be willing to share with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I can talk about the very first time I had a true like mystical breakthrough experience. And I think it was on 3.5 grams of mushrooms. Mm-hmm. There was a friend of mine and I, we sort of started down this path together. And we started to experience these things together. And he was a big drug kid when he was younger, when he was in middle school and high school. He had a really, really tumultuous childhood. And, you know, he fell into a lot of bad crowds, a lot of bad things, and he was into drugs heavily. And I remember when I approached him first with this concept of doing psychedelics and doing mushrooms with an intention of going inside, you know, discovering the secrets of the universe and spirituality. He looked at me like I was crazy.
And
he
was like, "You're just,
yeah, what are you talking about?" He's like, "I've taken acid, 10 hits of acid and all this stuff, and I've never experienced anything like that." He just looked at me like I was like a little kid, like first getting into drugs and thinking like, "Oh, you're just having some weird interpretation." But yeah, then when we tried it, we had this experience, and it's hard to remember, hard to put into words, but we sat down, we were on his couch and we ate them. And everything just started to get really strange, really weird. Things around us started to move. And as you guys probably know, you know, you see things melt and you see like the visual perceptions start to come into play. Mm-hmm. Colors are very vivid and this and that. And that's what I expected to have happen. And as he expected as well. But then I don't know how it happened. We had a YouTube video on the TV. He had a huge TV at the time. It was like a 65-inch TV. So it was just like this big monstrous light in the room because nothing else, all the lights were off. And it must have been on autoplay or something because we didn't choose the video that popped up, but it was this strange like DMT visual video with these really odd noises, like this like zipping, buzzing noises that were going in and out of his surround sound. And it's almost like those noises catapulted us into this experience that we both just did not expect to have happen. And it was a shared, almost telepathic vision as well, because we were both sitting next to each other and we both envisioned sort of the connection we had with one another. And then as like the experience ebbs and flows, we would branch off and sort of go our own way and visualized as if we were going like around a massive planet. And then we would float back and come back to one another. And it was very odd. I looked at him at one point and I said to him, like, what the hell is this? Is this is really what a drug experience is like? And I think he looked over at me and he said something like, welcome to the club or something. And it was phenomenal. But yeah, I mean, the experience, it evolved into the most mystical type experience I can describe. The visuals on the TV, they began to turn into God to me. Like what I was seeing was this crazy fractal, kaleidoscopic, circular visual, which in the DMT realm and in the mushroom realm, when you close your eyes, they sort of, those visions sort of come to you as if you're going down a tunnel or you're traveling somewhere. And that experience came to me and it blew the doors wide open for everything. My value systems, I mean, my views on reality, on God. Like I said, I was a staunch atheist up until this point. And within like 30 seconds of that experience, it just evaporated. It was gone. And I knew that atheism was just wrong. It didn't tell me anything specific as to like what to believe, but it looked at me and like winked at me and said, you're wrong. Your perceptions of what this thing is and what you're doing here on this earth is, it's not right. So let me realign your mind a little bit and show you some things.
Wow. I have two questions. You know so much about the history of psychedelic psilocybin in particular, how they contributed to the development of language and art. You talk about how when one enters these spaces, particularly with DMT and psilocybin, they're seeing these sort of like tunnel-like visuals, and sometimes they look kind of like mandalas. I don't know if that's just me, or they look sort of colorful, maybe a little bit Aztec. Do you have a theory as to like why it is that those visuals come up, or like what's happening neurochemically or neurophysiologically that is causing those visuals? Or I'm curious if you had any theories around that.
I do have some thoughts, because a lot of the iconography that you see in ancient Egypt and a lot of these ancient cultures, they happen to resemble these experiences quite a bit.
Right.
So the question I like to ask myself is, what came first? Mm-hmm. Did the culture of, say, ancient Egypt come first? And what I'm experiencing when I see these types of iconographies are sort of remnants of the ideas of the collective consciousness? Or were the ancient Egyptians and other cultures experimenting with these substances and they sort of extracted these icons out of the DMT and psilocybin realm? I seem to lean more toward the latter because you can see these similarities in so many cultures throughout the world. And that seems just a little too peculiar to me to not be, or to just be a coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really where the inspiration behind Soma was. Like Soma is sort of this like nondescript sacrament. If you look at our logo, there's a molecular formulation of what anthropologists are for now calling Soma. But it's, yeah, like it's this nondescript sacrament that has been experienced in a number of different contexts and a number of different cultures and a number of different places. And for whatever reason, there's like overlap in the iconography and in the sort of trip reports that we've sort of collected along the way in history. Very, very interesting. And to that point leads me to my second question. You mentioned that you were a staunch atheist. You're now theist. You're believing
a non-atheist.
A non-atheist. Is that what you're calling it?
I don't really know what to call it. I'm just me. I don't really believe anything, honestly. Mm-hmm. I have theories and I love to bounce them around, but my thought processes seem to align more with like Eastern mm-hmm. traditions, Buddhism, Hinduism, because they seem to me to be like a detailed analysis of the human psyche, mm-hmm. which is missing from a lot of religions. So I don't think I would call myself necessarily a theist because I'm like a mushroomist. You know, I mm-hmm. feel like God is whatever is behind the veil that psychedelics lift.
Atheism is an interesting term because in the West, it tends to be just this counter to Western religious idea of God as like this being that lives in the sky and exact judgment.
I think if someone is agnostic, then maybe they're sort of critical of the idea of a masculine, omnipotent power in the sky. But if someone is like agnostic, I think that applies to these, like, I don't want to call them humanistic religions, but that's kind of what they've become, at least out here in the West. It's like we ask people, okay, well, you don't subscribe to Christianity or Judeo-Christian ideology, but you do gravitate towards Hinduism or Buddhism. Why is that? And they give an answer sort of akin to what you were just saying, Josh, is that it's more about the human mind. It's more about self-inquiry. It's more about self-actualization. But that humanistic perspective, I think, is uniquely Western. I don't know that if you were to go ask someone
right,
who's practicing Buddhism.
I'm saying if you were only raised with the Western ideology and you didn't know anything about these Eastern ways of thinking, like atheist is the term that says, like, I don't like this way of thinking. And then you're introduced to this experience where you're like, oh, there is something more, but it's not the conceptualization that I've been taught since I was a kid. There's something like deep and experiential that I'm experiencing in this mm-hmm. moment. And that's really like what I call awakening. Like your experience is a story of modern awakening because it's those places that we go to where we just realize there's something more. That for me is the beauty of these psychedelic experiences and also other experiences where people are getting in touch with the same thing just through a different access point. That point where you're like, oh my God, there's something more than I thought there was. And then that just opens up this door to, I don't know, creating podcasts, probably.
It's one route well traveled.
Yeah, I think you're really onto something there. And the concept of atheism, I think, in our culture is sort of flawed because if you look at most things in Western culture, there's such a binary between everything. Either it's black or it's white, it's off or it's on, it's mm-hmm. fact or it's fiction, it's theism or it's atheism. There is a God, there isn't a God. But I think you have to really sit down and define what you mean by God when you're asking somebody or when someone's asking you. If anybody ever asks me, do you believe in God? That's such a loaded question. I have to ask them, like, what exactly do you mean by that? Because my definition of God is the acknowledgement and acceptance of something larger than yourself. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that can fit into many, many boxes. But the one box that I will not go into is the one that just constricts it to a man in the sky or nothing at all.
We talk a lot about religion and sort of working with religion and psychedelics and how your past kind of fits into these new experiences and how you integrate it. For me, it was a very kind of like scientific approach because I grew up with Orthodox Judaism and learning a bunch of rules and learning a bunch about like how the world was structured based on the Jewish Bible. And then I had these experiences on psychedelics out in the world with energy and playing with this stuff. And it was just sort of like, oh, this model doesn't really fit my actual experience, right? So it's kind of like that scientific method for me of I find the most resonance with my actual experience inside of these traditions like yoga and like Taoism that incorporate this force. Like that's sort of how I envision like the concept of God. It's like this intelligent force that just kind of exists in the background. And we, as human beings who are sort of made in God's image, if you want to use the Western terminology for it, we have access to that mode of consciousness. Like we can get in touch with that source. So there's just much more quality of information, I guess I would say, in the Eastern traditions, where even if you don't look at them as religions, if you look at them as like blueprints for how to access these states, I think it's a useful framework to have.
But I also think it's fair to acknowledge that these experiences, the visuals that you're receiving, like they're highly subjective. Someone who is not exposed to those Eastern philosophies are likely not going to have the same, you know, you work with what you have. When I was starting to explore, and marijuana was my first sort of entry into the psychedelic space, like I had a whole bunch of Jewish imagery come up, a whole bunch of liturgy come up, a whole bunch of archetypes come up, and they were really resonant. Like I didn't feel like they were misrepresenting the state that I was in, or I didn't feel like they were icons or images that were like painting over my experience, that were helping me understand what was going on in a way that, you know, my brain could process. Like they felt like very intentional and very appropriate in that space. So I think it also, like, your experience is a testament to, you know, your seeking and like your interest in these subjects before those experiences even occurred.
Yeah, I'm curious for Josh, were you raised with any kind of religion in your family?
Luckily, I was not. I was not raised with any sort of ideology, whether it be religious, political. My parents were just not concerned with that at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for that because both my brothers and I, we were a clean slate. Our experiences are what dictated how we were going to carry ourselves in the world philosophically. And that, I think, laid the groundwork for me to be able to have experiences like this. And I think you guys bring up a great point with other avenues of awakening, because one of the very first things that the mushroom, quote unquote, told me was that it's not the only way that you can experience this kind of thing. There are endless modalities. This is just like a streamlined shortcut to it, where you can blow the doors open in a really intense way.
Are there any other modalities that you practice now that you've had these experiences and sort of know the ways in?
Meditation, definitely. And I mean, just like you were saying, like a scientific approach, you know, researching everything that I can. I didn't have too much of an interest as like a quote unquote researcher into these fields till after my psychedelic experiences and during them. And that led me to just to open my mind to all types of philosophies, all types of ways of thinking. But yeah, aside from meditation, recently I've been doing cold showers, which has been pretty crazy.
Mm.
Makes me feel great, but it sucks while you're doing it.
You talk about like owing your wisdom to the mushroom or this new piece, you know, like in your relationships, you owe that to the mushroom. Do you want to tell us a little bit about those experiences and why you think the mushroom resolved some of those issues or was a conduit for greater peace?
So one of the dichotomies between me and the friend that I was exploring these things with was his message from the mushroom was like, this is yours. This is your secret. This is your golden ticket. He used to always say, I got my golden ticket. You know, like this is your thing and you don't have to share this with anyone. But for me, it was the opposite. It told me like, share this experience with the people that you love. Show them what this is about. And I remember the very first conversation I ever had with my older brother about this. I was talking to him and his girlfriend about it. And, you know, they had this look in their eye that I knew was condescending. And I remember they told me later that they had a conversation after that and they said, oh man, you know, we lost Josh. You know, I don't know what happened. You know, he took these drugs and we lost him. Now he's talking crazy. But slowly they would figure out that I wasn't crazy and I was onto something. So the very first person that I needed to share this with, whether it was for my own good or for the well-being of my family, was my girlfriend, my now fiance. We had gone through, I mean, we've been together since we were 17. I met her when I was in high school. We didn't go to the same high school, but we met while we were in high school. And now I'm 33. So we've been together for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And for long-term relationships, especially ones that begin at such a tender age of 17, it's really, really difficult to grow with each other as opposed to growing apart. Because growth is inevitable. You're just a kid and you're going to change and grow at a rate that's exponential compared to any other age, aside from maybe the age of puberty. But from, you know, maybe like 15, 16 on to like your early 20s and maybe mid 20s, that's such a period of transformation. And we found it difficult at times to grow together. And at a certain point in time, we found ourselves growing apart. We were quote unquote curious about other options. We were exploring different friend groups, going out to bars, drinking a lot, doing all that stuff. We weren't hanging out with each other's friends, which can be a big problem. And there was a time, I won't get into too much detail, but there was a time where we were essentially going to call it quits. We were going to break up. And I said to her, you know, because I had been sort of experimenting with these things a little bit and doing the research. So I said to her, I pointed at my safe because I had all my stuff locked into a safe. And I said, if you love me and you want to make this work and you really want to try, I have a method. And I said, let's do these mushrooms in here together. And she was as desperate as I was. And she thought, okay, let's give it a shot. Did a last ditch effort. Let's see what happens. Mm. So she agreed. And we both, we took 4 grams together. And it was, I mean, it was transformational. It opened up the doors to our relationship to be what it is now.
I'm curious to get your take on this because we mentioned a little bit earlier in our conversation, you had this friend who was sort of really experienced with different psychedelics and kind of just treated them as like crazy experiences. Curious if you have thoughts about what it is about either the intention or the way you approach these substances that create space to have these really life-changing experiences versus just sort of like maybe getting on a roller coaster and then getting off at the end and saying, wow, that was fun. But yeah, there's something inherently different about, I think, the potential for having really powerful awakening experience if you approach them in the right way.
Yeah, you said it, you know, approaching them in the right way. Set and setting, you know, the classic phrase, set being your intention, what you're bringing to it, the reason why you're doing it. And if the reason why you're doing it is, you know, you're a 16, 17 year old kid and you're going to a party and you want to have fun, you want to pick up girls and drink and do this and that, like he was, you're not going to get the types of experiences that we're talking about. And I think that's a good thing because I think, I forget who said it. There was a quote and it's like, best not to awaken people who are sleeping. A lot of times people have these crazy experiences that they're not ready for. So I think it's like a really awesome system that the mushroom has where, or that all these psychedelics have, where they really bring you what you need and they align themselves with your intentions. So to answer your question, yes, set and setting is everything. What you bring to it, the research that you do, your mindset, your mind frame, I think that's everything.
Yeah. So Josh, I'm curious along the lines of what we were mentioning before. Like, what was that conversation like with your partner? How did you get her into the space where you could really have this deep kind of like awakening experience with her?
Well, there was definitely a stage of like I experience with most people when I talk about this stuff where they kind of look at you like you're crazy. And it was really desperation. You know, that was the beginning. It was a sense of desperation that like we have to do something here. And the goal was to solidify our connection, solidify our relationship. So going into it with that frame of reference, I think really helped a lot. And like the setting itself, you know, we created an environment where it was conducive to communication, to opening ourselves up to one another. You know, I can go into like describing how we set everything up if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it because one of the things that I feel about psychedelics is it's sometimes hard to approach them in a place where there are multiple people. Like I see most of my psychedelic experiences as like alone out in the mountains, just dealing with my own thoughts and whatever's going on for me. And I feel like if there's too many people in the space, like that process gets interrupted. So I'd love to hear an experience that was sort of set up intentionally to have a conversation or to have a shared experience and understand what that looked like for you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you, Aaron. When a lot of people are there, it tends to dilute itself almost. And me, I have a problem where because like I introduced a lot of my friends and family to these things, I feel responsible. Mm-hmm. So if someone is going through like a rough time and they're having a hard experience, I feel like I need to heal them and hold the space for them. And like there's a, like in the therapeutic modality, there's a fine line between interfering with someone's experience and allowing it to work itself out. And I have a real issue with that. I want to help the people who are around me and I want to involve myself. And that's a big issue for me. So I resonate with that for sure. But in terms of, I feel like three people is a good, you know, as long as the three people know what they're doing, I feel like three is like the limit. Any more than that, and it gets a little weird. But for two people, it was perfect because we live together. So We did it in our living room. We had this, like a papasan, those chairs, like those circular chairs with like the big giant circular pad. So we had one of those. So we took the pad off, threw it on the floor and sat down, and I put on this really beautiful, slow music. Actually, if you look for, if you search on YouTube, like relaxing sleep music, it's like the very first thing that comes up. It's like a 3 hour long, like video of nature, just like rolls through nature, oceans, mountains, snow, all this stuff. And it plays this really beautiful music. And we just sat there with the mushroom together and just allowed ourselves to open up to the experience, and it began. And it tends to take you to the places that you need to be taken, especially in terms of where your mindset is while you're doing it. And it took us to a place where we were able to open up to one another and communicate and really share our feelings with each other. And not even just verbally, it's like almost a telepathic understanding of love that you experience under these circumstances.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to describe in words, obviously, but my corollary is just with the energetic exchange, because I've trained in Qigong and these energy dynamics and kind of realized that just naturally we exchange energy with our partners. They sort of feed us in ways and we kind of feed them in ways. So yeah, that psychedelic space where all the filters are taken off, you start to realize that there's something more going on. There's like pieces of me inside of my partner and pieces of my partner inside of me. And you start to experience that on a deeper level. But yeah, that's beautiful. Couples therapy on mushrooms.
Would recommend.
I'm in support of it.
10 out of 10.
I mean, yeah, it changed everything. As you guys know, it's deeply personal, these experiences. And they not only change your ability to communicate with your partner or whoever you're with, they also are so influential on your worldview and your value systems. It realigned both of our value systems to where what was at the top of our list was each other, as opposed to approval of other people and external stimuli. It was each other. It was us. You know, that was our focal point. And that is the one piece that has continued on throughout, you know, the rest of the years that we've been together up until this point, where the focal point of my life and the focal point of her life, it's each other and making sure that our relationship comes first above everything, job, friends, all of that.
Yeah, we talk about how like the layer of the ego comes down in these spaces, the layer of consciousness that creates a barrier between what is me and what is outside of me, my needs first versus the needs of my space or the needs of the people around me, kind of the narrative that takes us out of the present, you know, like what am I going to eat for lunch tomorrow, or, you know, being anywhere but the present moment. And so the presence and the presence that is catalyzed by these substances just allows us to be that much more vulnerable, that much more in sync with the people around us and with the earth around us. And it creates, you know, this consciousness of ecology and consciousness of the living environment. So you talk about giving psychedelics to scientists, people that already understand the hard facts of what's going on around us, introduce them to this chemical and take away the me layer or the sort of narrow layer, and, you know, watch the love flow in and watch those two streams of thought sort of begin to flow together. And I think that's how you end up with people like Terrence McKenna, Michael Pollan.
Yeah, absolutely, Rachel. You're definitely onto something for sure. And I think that the way that, especially like science is a very good example of this, and it's the way our minds work too. We compartmentalize everything. Like the people who are studying like ants, and the people who are studying trees and plants, like they're not asking the questions of how do these things all connect into one cohesive, holistic philosophy. And I think what psychedelics do is they connect all those things and they give you sort of a motivation to explore how everything connects to one another, because you feel this connection to nature, this connection to everything and everyone around you, where you merge with like the collective unconscious or something like that, some sort of like oneness that binds all of us. And that to me is, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where, in my opinion, greatest forms of therapy come from as well.
Yeah, it reminds me of like the mycelia networks that are living under the trees and connecting all of it, you know, the oxygen and the water, mm-hmm. and making sure that the one tree way over there in that corner that's not getting enough oxygen is then be, it's just, yeah.
Those
it's
mushrooms, they know things.
It's very altruistic. They are very altruistic beings.
That they are.
Josh, your podcast, Pursuit of Infinity, that was one of the fruits of your experience. Just why don't you tell us a little bit about the podcast and what your goals are?
Yeah, I mean, the podcast has been a blast. Part of my journey during the pandemic was, so in about a year ago, I took a class offered from Psychedelics Today, and it was called Navigating Psychedelics for Clinicians and Therapists, because what my intention was with that was to learn about ways where I could get involved with like clinically helping people with psychedelics. It sucks because I don't have any sort of like medical degree. I already have a college degree in graphic design. So, you know, it's kind of too late to go back again and like adopt another modality of, you know, a degree. So they have this integration project at the end of the course. And the philosophy behind it is that you take everything that you learned and you put it into some sort of a project, whether that be a physical thing or, you know, like a piece of art or the planning of your future in this road, down this path. And my brother and I had always talked about like having a podcast because we talk about this stuff anyway, all the time, constantly. So I decided to use that integration project as the planning and construction of this podcast. Mm. So I did all the planning, the name, you know, I got together all the equipment and all that stuff. And I put together, actually, we had like 6 to 8 names. And I put together a starter logo for each name because, as I said, I have a degree in graphic design. So naturally, I wanted to create our own art. So put that all together. And I actually, we have to present at the end of the class, you present it to everyone. And I presented the project via a PowerPoint. And my last slide was all the logos. And I said to everyone, like, can you guys just tell me what your favorite one is of all of these? Like, everyone vote. The one that won the vote was Pursuit of Infinity. I had a bunch of names. Tasting Colors was one. The Synesthesia. Psychedelic Soup. There's a whole bunch of funny names, but Pursuit of Infinity was the one that most people liked. And I reworked the logo and we just started off. And luckily with that class, there was like a masterclass portion with a bunch of lectures from professionals in the field. And I used that as an opportunity to reach out to some of those people and say, hey, you know, as my integration project for this course, I'm starting a podcast. So would you please, you know, be a guest on it. And I got a few guests from Psychedelics Today and some of the people that they're affiliated with.
That's amazing. I love that origin story. That is truly fantastic. And the podcast, for the record, is incredible. I mean, your guests are all like very, very knowledgeable people, but I am just like astounded by how much you and your brother know. You guys are just incredibly knowledgeable people. It's like such a treat to listen. I feel like I'm learning so much in such a short period of time. And I really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. And thank you so much for the kind words. I mean, it means everything to me because, I mean, I'm just a regular person. I was born a zero, you know, and, you know, to hear that someone is enjoying the noises that are coming out of my face, it makes me happy. And so thank you guys so much.
Well, knowing your path and knowing your journey, I think you know that you were born a zero, but you were also born a one and you were also born a two and everything after that. Great. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will get back to you soon.
And welcome back. So, Rachel, I was thinking that we should change the name of the podcast to Psychedelic Soup. What do you think about that?
I love that idea. Rain Wilson has a podcast called Metaphysical Milkshake. It feels a little too on the nose. I mean, like for us to, you know, sort of co-opt those terms. Rain Wilson, if you're listening, I'd love to have you on the podcast. We'd love to have you on the podcast, mostly me.
Yeah, please come on. Talk about mushrooms or milk or whatever you like.
I'm curious about your mushroom use in college. I mean, so the thing about Josh is that you know, he came in doing lots of his own research at a relatively young age with a school friend. And that's what's cool about his story, this sort of spontaneity, but also careful research before he embarked on his psychedelic journey. But if you had any psilocybin experience in college, I'd be curious to hear.
Yeah, I mean, my first experience was with a girlfriend who introduced me to the substance. And it was one of those things where it's like, let's go out and do this together and have an experience. And
in college?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we took maybe a half dose or a quarter dose or something like that. And we started in her apartment. I just remember when it was coming up, noticing that I could see things that wasn't normally paying attention to, not like, you know, mandalas and stuff like that, just like looking at the walls. I'm like, wow, like there's so much texture in these walls. And, you know, that kind of thing, just like you're sort of like looking at stuff again, like, wow, I didn't realize that this was so interesting to look at. And then we went out to the park sort of when things kind of stabilized a bit. And that was when I got a sense of what was going on and how the substance was changing my senses, because just like, you know, I remember lying down and looking up at this tree and just being so like captivated by all the branches and the leaves and the way the light was shining through it and just this aliveness that I could feel. And my takeaway from that experience was just really understanding how my senses worked. I remember like touching a leaf and being like, oh my God, like I can feel all the texture on this leaf. It's just amazing. And like looking at the nature and like kind of seeing everything sort of like come alive in this way that we normally don't. I guess we don't have access to it, but it was a really beautiful and gentle introduction to mushrooms. There was no really kind of super out there psychedelic hallucination, you know, crazy imagery moving into different dimensions. It was all just kind of like an enhanced sensory experience.
Mm. It's really interesting. I was actually just having a conversation with a friend, and they also did a pretty light dose of mushrooms the first time they partook. And, you know, more than focusing on the visuals or the sharpened sense of, you know, the sharpened perception, person was really just overtaken by the sense that like everything is God. Mm-hmm. Everything is a piece of God. So after this, particularly after this episode with Josh, I was like, yeah, like it's a really resonant experience for lots of people. And yeah, I feel like there are some substances that feel a little bit more suffused by divine energy than others. I think that psilocybin is certainly one of them. It's a very intelligent, to me, it's a highly intelligible substance. Definitely what we spoke earlier about the mirrored aspect of it. Like I definitely get that sense. But for you, it sounds like that experience was more just about, you know, enjoying the perceptual enhancements.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm very much a scientist in nature, and it was a lower dose, but I'm very much a science in nature, so I'm always interested in what's changing. And so I'm probably paying more attention to those things than other people might. I was struck after talking with Josh in this episode just about how impactful these experiences can be, just going from where he was and his understanding of the world and having this one experience just kind of catapulting you into this completely different place of understanding, and then wanting to dig into it and research it more and kind of make it a part of your life.
Just
really fascinating, especially for someone that didn't grow up with any kind of religion or guiding ideology, to be able to find something like that really, really speaks to you on a deep level. You know, it just goes back to the nature of how powerful these substances can be.
Yeah. I mean, I think these paradigmatic shifts are definitely one of the reasons to even try. I think if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling like you don't understand why things are just not working, like that perceptual shift really, it opens your eyes in so many different ways. I mean, my first psilocybin experience, it's actually funny. I don't even count my first psilocybin experience to be a proper psilocybin experience, because my second psilocybin experience was that paradigmatic shift for me. Mm-hmm. The first one was really sort of difficult and sticky and not characterized by those perceptual changes. And it was more so about being stuck in a particular thought pattern and not really being able to do anything about it, which I think it's an important disclaimer to make. Like that can happen. You know, these paradigmatic shifts do occur, but you can also sort of roll around the same sort of cognitive circuitry, which can be really difficult.
Right. And that's normally what's referred to as a bad trip. And I don't know, we'll probably devote an episode to talking about mushroom protocols, but there's definitely a phenomenon that can occur where as these gates of consciousness start to open and as these filters start to get peeled off, we tend to fixate on the stuff that's challenging for us because we're resisting it. I think we talked about it a little bit. Yeah, we actually did talk about it a little bit in our episode with Jay and Lindy,
yes.
Consciousness in a Nutshell. So
last week's episode.
It's a bit unavoidable to approach that stuff because that's one of the reasons that the mushroom experience can be healing is we are able to look at these things that we're normally not looking at that are difficult for us to face, but there are ways to approach it skillfully so that you can move through that phase and get to this more kind of transcendent space where you can experience oneness or connection or just a greater perspective.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense for the progression of my journey is that first more difficult one to the second one, which changed my life and changed the way that I conceive of myself as a person, as a contributing member of the human race. I spoke earlier about the negation of those negative self talking points that I was having, and part of that is like actually being able to see like the ability that I have and that all beings have to create beauty, which was talk about a shift that really motivated me to go out and try new things, acquire new skills, and to take the things that I was already doing and sort of appreciate them in a new way. And understanding that like that actually is like just by virtue of existing, I am contributing and I have what to contribute. So that was a really special experience for me. I also like we talk about like sometimes encountering spirit animals or certain totems that are, particularly significant for us. I would love to do an episode on that. Maybe spirit animals specifically and like how we can encounter them in altered spaces. Mm-hmm. I actually know that your spirit animal was that relationship was sort of opened on an experience with psilocybin, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was doing mushroom journeys in the Santa Monica Mountains for a time. Just really formative experiences and my understanding of how psychedelics work and this sort of like extra level that you can access in kind of a vision quest kind of space. And yeah, I literally met my spirit animal hawk, like ran to this clearing in the meadow, just like, following the signs again and didn't know why I was there, but knew that something was like going to happen in this space, turn around and there's a hawk, like just jumped off of this, this tower that was out there literally 6 feet away from me and started circling over my head. So we'll definitely get to more about mushroom experiences and protocols and totems and omens and how all that stuff works because it's really fascinating and it helps have some understanding of that space before you dive into it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'd also love if anyone wants to refer either themselves or someone they know as sort of a tribal expert around spirit animals and totems. I'd love that. I think it'd be interesting to bring that anthropological lens into things. Well, thank you so much to Josh for joining us today. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk back at you next week.
Chipped Cassette Studios.